Have you ever been rejected in your life? Maybe you think back to a time in your childhood or in school, and for some reason you were rejected by other people. Maybe you've experienced it in work. You were overlooked for a promotion, or you applied for a job that you really wanted and they turned you down. Maybe you've experienced rejection romantically. You asked somebody out and they just said no, or they stood you up. It's probably something that we have all experienced at some time in our life. And maybe it was small and we were able to get over it quickly, but rejection can leave deep, long-lasting, painful scars in our life. But then also, hopefully, you've had the experience of feeling accepted, that you know what it's like to feel welcomed, to feel loved, to feel wanted, and to feel that you belong and you are part of something. Being accepted is a truly wonderful feeling. We're doing this series at the moment, looking at Peter's first letter. And if you were to go back in time to when this letter was written, to 60 AD or so, and you were to go to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, one of the places that Peter is writing this letter to, and you were to talk to the Christians there, and you were to ask them, had they ever been rejected? The answer would definitely be yes. And they would be able to point to something probably quite recent. Because in their culture at that time, to become a Christian meant to be rejected to a certain extent from society. And it's possible that some of these Christians had been excluded from their own family. Maybe they had been kicked out of their trade guild, having an impact on their business. Maybe they'd lost their social status, friends turning their back on them. See, today, partly, church is an honourable thing. It's a respectable thing to do, to go to church. But at that time, people would have told them that it's a shameful thing. How dare you go to church? You're bringing shame on your family. You're turning your back on the religion and the gods of your people and your family. For that time, to be a follower of Jesus brought with it a certain amount of rejection. But in these verses that we're looking at today, Peter reminds them that coming to Christ may have caused human rejection, but it has also brought them divine acceptance and belonging. Yes, they are rejected by humans, but they are accepted by God, and they have found a new spiritual home with him in the church. So look at what he says in verse 4. If you have a Bible with you, or the words will be on the screen as well. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. In the Old Testament, there is a series of prophecies that draw on this construction imagery, and they refer to the coming Messiah as the stone. And Peter understands that this stone is talking about Jesus. But of course, Jesus isn't dead, so this stone is the living stone. And then Peter quotes from three Old Testament passages in verses 6 to 8. First from Isaiah 28, verse 16, then from Psalm 118, verse 22, and then from Isaiah 8, verse 14. And he tells a story. So it's almost as if you imagine that there is a man who wants to build a house in another place. And he draws up the designs, and he picks the best material, and he imports this beautiful, strong piece of stonework that's going to be the foundation and the very centerpiece of the whole building. And he hires some builders, and he sends the materials. And after a time, he comes to visit and to check on their progress to see how they are doing. But the builders have rejected this foundational stone, and they've just thrown it away. And they've disregarded all his plans, and they started building their own house for them. Well, the man knocks down their house that they built on his land. And then he gets this stone that they rejected, and he places it firmly in the ground. And then he goes and he finds other discarded, rejected piece of bricks. And he slowly starts to build a house and a home for himself to live in. And that's like the story of the gospel. the gospel that tells us that the chosen one was rejected so that the rejected ones could be accepted. See, the Old Testament, we see that the prophets, that God had a plan, that he was going to build himself a spiritual temple, a home for his spirit made out of people. And so he sends his son, Jesus. Jesus, who is precious to him, who is chosen by him, to be the foundation of that building. But the builders, the Jewish leaders and authorities, they reject him. They don't listen to what he has to say. They conspire against him and plot his death. And then they crucify him as a criminal. Humans rejected the chosen one of God. But God raised Jesus from the dead. Look at the second part of verse 7. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone is the most important stone in a building. It is foundational and unifying. It's the first stone that is set in construction, and all the other stones are put in reference to this one stone. It determines the position of the whole structure, and if you were to take it away, then everything else would collapse. And so hear what Peter is saying to these Christians that have been rejected for their faith. Christ was also rejected. He too was misunderstood. He too was hated for his opinions and his words. He too was looked down on because he cared for the social outcast. He too was abandoned by his friends when things got difficult. And he suffered the pain of being forsaken. The stone the builders rejected, those that rejected him and turned away. But what did God do? God raised him from the dead. Jesus is chosen and precious in the sight of God. He was shamed on the cross by men, but he was glorified and honored by God when he raised him from the grave. And it is a reminder of divine acceptance in the face of human rejection. And maybe today some of us need to be reminded of that too. Maybe you know all too well what it's like to be rejected, and you've come today with that hurt and that pain. But know that through Christ you are accepted by God. You are precious in his sight, and you are loved by him. No matter what other people might say about you, God says that he loves you and that you are his. The end of verse 6 and beginning of verse 7 says, "The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." So if you believe and put your faith on this cornerstone, then you will never be put to shame and you will experience honor in your life. But if you don't believe, then Christ becomes a stumbling block and will cause you to fall. This is verse 8. "A stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." I don't know if many of you had any experience of Lego bricks. They're a lot of fun to build as a child and as an adult. But occasionally, if a brick ever gets rejected, if it ever gets misplaced and ends up on the floor, and this little colorful brick makes contact with a bare foot, it is one of the most painful experiences you can have in life. I don't know if you've ever encountered that. I see a few nods, and that they say that there are three levels of pain. Pain, excruciating pain, and then standing on a Lego brick. They may look harmless, but it is like walking on hot coals. You've got to believe me. How much more does rejecting Jesus cause us to stumble and to fall? To disregard him and think he's nothing, he's insignificant, I don't need to do anything with him in my life. But to have that attitude, to reject him in any way, will cause you to stumble. For all humanity, our destiny is determined by what we decide about Jesus. To accept him as our cornerstone is the best decision, but to reject Christ is the biggest mistake you can ever make. Peter writes to comfort and to encourage these Christians who have been rejected by the world. And he tells them that they are being built together into a spiritual house. And this acceptance isn't just a future event that they'll receive when they get to heaven. No, they can experience it in part now in the church. And the rest of the verses in this passage are all about the church. The Christians that Peter is writing to in this letter, he tells them that not only have they been given a new identity and a new destiny, but they've also been given a new community to belong to. So in verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, you are brought into a relationship with God and into a relationship with each other. We're brought into a relationship with God and into a relationship with each other. And in these verses, Peter says many things about what that means to belong to a church and how to live that out. And if that's something that you want to know more about, then I encourage you to come to our Connect group on Wednesday, which is a great way to be the church and to connect with each other as we connect with God. And I do again encourage you this book, which just goes through about what it is to belong to a church and how great it is. But God is building his church. And I just want to quickly just give us a few things that we as a church here at St. Andrew's can think about. God is building. God is the builder. Something that I've been reminding myself this week, that I'm not the builder of this church. I'm just a brick. Our job is to obey God and to serve him wholeheartedly. But as a brick, we just have to work hard and do all that we can. But God's the builder. It's his job to build and to grow this church. And we just need to trust and depend on him. But it's ultimately his responsibility, even though we work hard with all that we have. But God is the builder, and we are being built. It's an ongoing process. So we as a church, we're not finished yet. We are still a work in progress. That means we're not perfect. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we should be doing something that we're not doing. Sometimes we're doing something that we should. We are a work in progress, but God, through his Spirit, is building us. And he's building us together. He's not just building us as individuals, but he's building us as a community. He's giving us unity, helping us to love each other, to serve each other, to care for each other, to pray for each other, and to encourage one another in our faith. We are being built by God together on Christ, the cornerstone. See, this church is not about us. This church is about Jesus. And that's why I have hope for this church, by the way. Not because of the bricks, but because of the foundation. Because if the foundation is firm, then it will not fall. But if you don't like being called a brick, then Peter has got some other illustrations in these verses for what it means to be part of the church. So in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Priests in the Old Testament were God's servants, and they had a special access to God. If you think of the temple, it was divided into different areas, and there were some places where only the priests could go, where they had access to God's presence in a special way. But Peter says that these Christians that may have been excluded from some corners of society, that through Christ they have been given VIP access to the presence of God. And it's the same for us too. Because of the sacrifice of our great high priest and king, Jesus Christ, we are his royal priesthood. We have access to God, all of us. Not just some of us, not just clergy or elders or some kind of higher level of holy Christians, but every believer is a priest. We all have access to come before the Father. We are a royal priesthood and we are a holy nation. We have been given new citizenship, not based on geography or ethnicity or history or language, but because we have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. The first readers of this letter would have lost a sense of corporate identity for Jesus, but God calls him his. Christians today are called all sorts of things. We can be called Bible bashers, fundamentalists, holy Joes, infidels, ignorant, losers, hypocrites, freaks, stupid, naive. But God looks at us and he says, "You're mine. You are mine. You are my treasured possession. You are the people that I love." Look at verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We are God's people. We are the people of God. So let's be the people of God. This passage begins in verse 4 by saying, "As you come to him." It's a continual process, as you come to him. It's a daily we need to decide to put our faith in Jesus. Constantly, we need to choose to make him our cornerstone. So come. So come to him today. If you're feeling rejected, come to Jesus and receive his mercy. If you have shame and guilt over the things that you have done, then come to Jesus and receive forgiveness. If you're looking for calling or purpose in your life, then come to Jesus and serve him as your king. If you're looking for community and a place to belong, then come to Jesus as he is the one who is building us together. Let us come to Jesus. So let's just take a moment and let's pray. And as priests, let's come before our Father and talk with him. Lord Jesus, you are our cornerstone, rejected by people, but chosen by God and precious to us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness and into your wonderful light. We believe in you. Never let us be put to shame. Come, Holy Spirit. Build us together on Christ, our cornerstone, to be a spiritual house and a holy priesthood for you. Amen.